You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on.
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude.
Just a couple dudes. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Great to have you here. This has been a fun week with my new co-host, Greg Bach, and I promise at some point we'll stop saying new, and this will just become routine, Greg, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But we can always say the new and improved. Yeah. It's got that new show smell.
I think every day, hopefully, we would say new and improved. Like, on some level or some capacity, we improve the show. That would be my goal.
And ourselves.
And ourselves, absolutely. and we've got Dominic Lee working the board, folks, looking as cool as ever. No beanie again, Dom. What gives?
How? I don't know. You said I had a bad hair day. So today, how does my hair look? Be honest. You know,
fantastic, buddy.
Oh, thanks. All right, appreciate it.
It looks like you're just buying top of the line product because it looks outstanding.
Oh, thanks. Wow.
Hey, this is great, folks. We are back together again here on the air doing Nightlights. We've got so much to get to tonight, as usual. All throughout the show, folks, the phone lines are open at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us, call, whatever you need to do. Get a hold of us somehow. It's always more fun when you guys participate in the show. We've got great guests tonight, Greg, don't we?
Absolutely. We have absolutely wonderful guests. We're going to be playing, after the 5:30 news, a pre-recorded interview we did with an amazing comedian, combat vet, cat dad, guitar enthusiast, all-around good guy, Tom Tran. He's going to be performing on the 7th of March for the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. We'll talk more about that, but that's coming up after the 5:30 news. And then in the second hour, we'll be speaking with Martin Alvarado from the Central Library at the Madison Public Library, talking tax preparations, talking book picks. There's great fiction, nonfiction. And then a visit from Civic Media's very own sports reporter, a man who's all over the world, Mr. Mike Clemens, will be here as well.
Sports authority, as I call him. Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens, is always fun.
The store took the name from him.
That's correct. That is absolutely right. And we've got, so there you go, folks. That's a show. And we've got a great question, which I don't think we should waste any more time getting to. Here is the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who, in your opinion, is the best late night talk show host ever? Who's your favorite late night talk show host? This question was inspired by the dropping of the book, The Late Shift, which was about the talk show wars between David Letterman and Jay Leno. I want to say it was 30 years ago, Greg, but we both read the book, and it's a great discussion.
The book or the wars? The book or the wars?
Well, both. I mean, it was a war of sorts. It was a Hollywood war between two talk show hosts. There were no blows thrown.
Yeah.
But it was a great book, and it was a great time when late night talk shows were kind of the only thing you had. Now you got Stewart and John Oliver and all these, Bill Maher and all these cable shows too. But that was it. Network was it back in the day.
I will say this. I personally, like, when it comes to like this question, I feel like my answer is multi-layered, and we'll talk about this more later because, you know, you've got the late night 10:30 or as the book says, 11:30 slots, the late show slots. And I wonder, like, do you consider things like The Daily Show and Last Week Tonight late shows to me? Like, are those still in the same vein? Because I, you know, when considering this question, who is in that group and who is not part of that group? Because I have, as you probably would be not shocked, hard thoughts on this one.
But same.
The book, The War for Late Night, is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you learn a lot about Jay Leno. You learn a great deal about David Letterman in that book, but I would suggest picking up. And then Bill Carter's other book about the fight over The Tonight Show between Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien. So,
okay. I thought Bill Carter wrote, I'm confused on my books, but you're right. They're all, it's a great discussion. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. We'll read your texts throughout the course of the show. So let us know, folks, who's your favorite late night talk show host ever? 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment. Mm-hmm. Please be part of the show. Greg, I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know how everything on social media looks amazing? It's kind of mm-hmm. nauseating. People post their best pictures, their best life moments. Oh, look at me. I'm in France, blah, blah, blah. It's no different. This is going to seem a little strange, but I am tired of watching van people on social media.
What?
There are
what do
people,
you mean, man?
There are people that live in vans.
Okay.
And it's this movement. And they
literally, because it's a van, it's moving.
But the videos I see, they're not moving. They're just stationary on a beach. Okay. It's all theater. And I get kind of annoyed because I feel like they're like, oh, look at me. I live in a van. I have a simple life. And van couples are the worst because it's just social media to the 10th power. Oh, look at me. I have to put my bed away and then pull out the griddle and make pancakes. And then we walk by the ocean and then I put the griddle away and then I take a shower in this rubber thing over here and then I watch my 9-inch color TV. That's a great lifestyle if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of seeing this stuff on so. And I clicked on it once, so now I have 30,000 van videos. I'm the problem. I realize that.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. I just feel like here's the thing is when it comes to social media, find some accounts that you really like, interact with those, and push the vans, you know, push them out of the way there. It's going to be okay. Is it because maybe you also think to yourself, what would van life be like? Because I always think about what would happen if I just moved into a tiny house.
Now that I think is kind of cool.
Yeah,
but you can't drive your house away like you can a van, so there is that.
It's a mobile home, you can.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the possibilities are, you're only limited by your own imagination, Pete. That's what I'm going to say right here. And I would say if the van life is, I would look deeper within and say, is it that I don't like what they're doing, or maybe I'm jealous of the ability to just move my life wherever I see fit?
Typically, most of my complaints are rooted in envy. I give you that. And I love the old Jay Leno joke, since we were talking about late night talk show hosts, where he says, when people live in a mobile home, is it tough when their kid wants to have a date and has to borrow the house? Jay Leno says, yes, honey.
Oh my God.
Be home by 11. Your mother and I will be standing over by that tree. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. I don't know what your day was like, Greg, but that was me scrolling through van reels.
I was a decent day, you know, not a lot going on. It was kind of quiet, so, you know, hanging out with my dog, having a good time. But now I'm here, and we're having a great time, and I think it's time to move on. Yes. To our top three stories of the evening.
The first big story.
So proud of you, Dom. So last night was the State of the Union address, and there were a lot of things said about it. I think the thing that everyone was focusing on was that this was the longest State of the Union at over an hour and 40 minutes long. And I don't think any State of the Union needs to be that long. I don't care who it is in office. I think that, you know, I think we should, it should be an hour. It should be like a headlining club set. 45 minutes, 60 at the most. But, you know, around that last 15 minutes, start to ramp down, bring in the good feelings, and then get off stage and leave them wanting for more. And that's not what the president did last night. He left them wanting to leave.
Correct. And his own party must have been tired from standing and clapping so much, because to me that kind of summed up the evening. There was just a ton of applause, and I know that you kind of get that with every State of the Union, but it started right out of the gate. He introduced Johnson and Vance, not even a clap, and then he introduces Melania and everybody stands.
She has a movie
nuts.
Out. Oh my God.
That had to be it.
Yeah,
it was crazy. It started with applause the whole night though.
I think that I found a website talking about how long presidents have spoken during State of the Unions, and he wins right now. He actually had the longest one before that of an hour and 39 minutes, which technically wasn't a State of the Union last year because he had just gotten office. But it was an hour and 39. Last night was an hour and 47:40. But every other president before that, Barack Obama, hour and two minutes. George W. Bush, 52 minutes. There you go. Bill Clinton, not surprising, an hour and 14 minutes average.
He was a talker.
He can talk. Like, you put him at the end of the show when people are like, we can leave now, right? We can leave now. It's fine. He's talking about like Nicaraguan policy as far as drugs and alcohol. Let's just get out of here now while the parking lot's free.
It was so funny. I remember Clinton giving a speech before he was even president. I think he was maybe the keynote speaker the 4 years before he ran. He was kind of a hotshot coming up through the party. Mm-hmm. He talked for so long that when he said, in conclusion, everybody started clapping sarcastically. Yeah, he can talk as well. He's very chatty. Who was the guy? I know they kept showing Mark Kelly, but there was a guy next to him that would clap. He would stand, Mark Kelly wouldn't, and then he would lean down and say stuff to Mark Kelly. And I couldn't tell if they were adversarial or what, but I thought maybe it was a Wisconsin guy. The other moment I thought was funny was when they recognized the 100-year-old World War II vet, and Hegseth did the total. He did something like this, then pointed like it was one of his frat buddies or something.
That's my dog right there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sling a bag of cocktail for my vet buddy. Yeah, totally. That sounds like Pete Hegseth's brand. Totally. He took out his American flag pocket square and waved it around and said, woohoo! So,
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
There
All
was
right.
another one. They were pushing the Trump account. Trump was pushing the Trump account that he insisted he did not name.
Yeah, he kept saying that, too. He's like, I didn't name it. Like, no one.
Crazy
it's fine.
Coincidence.
Like, because it's called the Trump Kids account. And, I mean, I know that Trump Kids... And right now, not a popular Google search, if you will, but still he kept saying it. And I feel like people are like, it's fine. Just move on. No one cares. It's okay. It's not real anyways. It's not like these kids are ever going to see this money. It's going to be magically vanished into a Bitcoin account somewhere in, you know, Malaysia.
I'll set up an account as soon as I get my Trump phone and my Trump steaks, and I'll eat a nice steak and I'll set up the account. It'll be fun. But the other thing I thought was crazy, I love, Trump can be so vague and nobody seems to care. Like, he's just like, we're working on that like crazy. Like, what
does that mean?
17-year-old girl? What
oh my God. He's got this. Oh my God. Hey, the kid counts are going so amazingly down. Right. I don't really know the kids speak right now, so I can't really, like, totes.
Close.
Totes is a big one. Yep, totes is a big one.
Okay, cool.
Oh, please.
We're totes working on
or beef for
Dom's
real.
Hair,
you know,
Dom's hair is totes adorbs tonight.
Oh,
that's you're trying to make up for last night when you basically called him ugly.
I
don't believe
it. I just said nothing of the sort. Should we go to? Should we at least introduce number two, or should we punt?
Let's leave them wanting more.
Okay, very good.
Let's leave them wanting. Let's tease them with what we got coming up.
That is our State of the Union commentary, folks. Join the fun. What did you think? You can text us on any of the topics we're talking about. As you know, our next two stories, I'll tease the heck out of these, Greg. We've got Chicago has named their plows.
Yes,
which
they have.
Are very interesting and could somewhat tie it to the State of the Union. And then we've got Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees.
Yes!
As our third big thing. Greg is going to go crazy on that. We are coming right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, It is great to be on the air here and great to have you with us. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting across the window from me, so to speak, is Greg Bach, and we are the hosts of Nightlight. Dom Lee running the board. Our question of the night, who is your favorite late-night talker of all time? I say David Letterman. A lot of people, we're getting some great responses. We'll get to those throughout the course of the show. And I'm certainly going to ask Mike Clemens that, because I know Mike is a big late-night TV fan, too. So, we're jamming, man. Should we get back to our top three stories, Greg?
Let's do it, Dom.
The second big story.
So out of Chicago these past few weeks, they were doing a contest on naming Chicago's newest snowplows, and they have announced the winners, with the top winner being, and this is not going to make some people happy, they're naming one of the machines Abolish Ice. These were available for, I believe Chicago could only vote for, you had to be a Chicago resident to vote for it, but this year they had six vehicles. They picked six names. Number one was Abolish Ice. The second one, and he did do a campaign on his show to win this. Stephen Colbert, Pope Frio the 14th, in honor of the Southside Chicago Pope, the Blizzard of Oz, which I love, Sven Cooley, and then finally Caleb Chillions.
Caleb Chillions.
Yeah. So that
he's the Iceman. That works. That's his own nickname. So yeah,
I love that because it harkens back to that story from England many years ago where they did the same thing to name a boat, and the name that won was Bodie McBoatface. And I'm telling you right now, when Jane and I talked about that story like last year, we were like, there's radio, you know this, Pete. There's radio laugh and like TV laugh. You're like, we were doubled over with laughter talking about Bodie McBoatface, because it was just like the childlike adolescence of it all. Be like, let's just say Bodie McBoatface. Yeah, totally. All right. So, congratulations on the new Chicagoland snowplows. Abolish Ice and all of their friends. So yeah, there we go. That is a teamwork. That is the community coming together to have a good laugh at a serious topic.
Absolutely. Yep. Dom, if you please.
The third big story.
Oh, baby.
All right. So Greg is excited about this one.
Yeah.
There have been new nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And one of your favorites, Greg, you've got Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden,
nice.
The White Stripes, Phil Collins, correct?
Yeah. I thought the White Stripes were already in there. Okay, yeah. I when I saw Phil Collins, I stopped reading because I'm like, yes, put him in right now. Because I love Phil Collins.
I think you're right about that. I'm looking at an old article. They've already been inducted. So I don't know where I sent that to you, but I can't find it now. But Phil Collins, how is he not already in the Rock Hall?
Because he was put in a few years ago with Genesis. That's how it usually works. It's usually the group they came out of. And then, so like someone like Eric Clapton is in three times. He's in with the Yardbirds, he's in with Cream, and he's in solo. I mean, if someone wanted to try to do Blind Faith, they could, but he's in three times. Paul McCartney is in twice. And I think there might be one other person who's in who can be in three times. But yeah, I mean, you got Genesis that went in a few years ago, and Phish actually inducted them.
And this is...
Yeah.
Oh, really nice.
Yeah. And
this year's are Pink. Now I've got it. Yeah. So, sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I feel like... I think it's going to be very controversial, like Pink and Shakira and whatnot. I think, you know, when it comes to this thing, I don't really care. Like, put them all in. It doesn't really, like... When people get mad about these things, like, oh, hip-hop shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why? Because they're not rock and roll. Okay, so what does that mean to you? I don't know.
And you could argue that they kind of are. I mean,
yes.
A lot of music, there's like genre bending, if you will. But you've got Pink, Phil Collins, Shakira. I could sort of see people upset about Pink and Shakira because they're still so young. But like, you've got other first-time nominees, Melissa Etheridge, awesome. Excess, sure. Lauryn Hill, they've been around a while. New Edition, I mean, Luther Vandross, Wu-Tang Clan, all of those, their best days are behind them, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question here. When do you think Pink came out, like her first album?
Oh, you know, okay, good point. Maybe early 90s?
2000. So she's been around for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. She's been around for 25 years. In fact, she's been around for longer than that. She was in a group before she went solo, but her first album came out in 2000. Like, see, that's the big thing, Pete, I feel like for people our age, we think people are like, oh, Pink, she's been around for like 15 years or so. No, some of these folks have been around for like 25, 30 years, because you have to be around 25 years. The rule is,
yeah,
it's from the debut album's 25 years, which means she got in on the first, like, first go, or she got nominated first go around. But I think she is phenomenal too. Her shows are a Vegas style show, acrobatics.
Oh yeah,
like lights, fire, the whole thing. It's amazing. She is amazing. Put her in twice just because I like her.
She's great. I just thought, I remembered seeing her at Summerfest, but I must be thinking of someone else. If, like, Don't Speak, I think, was their big.
That's
Gwen Stefani. And
they've been around even longer at that point. They've been around since the early 90s. So
that's who I was thinking of.
Look at Pete learning about rock and roll music.
You're here to educate me.
And by the way, Shakira's first album came out in 1990.
Okay. They're still kids, Greg. They're kids.
Yes,
they're learning
sure.
their craft.
Okay. Yeah, right. You're actually right.
And they've added new names. I'm surprised these people weren't in Mariah Carey, Sade, mm-hmm. Billy Idol, Oasis.
What, yeah.
Two hits. I mean, that's
Oasis? Surprising.
Kind of.
Okay.
Billboard?
Don't ever say that to Dan. Don't ever say that to Dan Schaefer's face. So.
Oh, it's on, dude. Let's have him on. And the Black Crowes. So there you go.
All right.
And New Order. I love New Order.
There you go.
All right. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are coming back. We've got pre-recorded content on the way. You are not going to want to miss this, folks. Tom Tran, a very funny man, talking about his gig coming up this weekend at the Fox Valley Veterans Council's Prohibition Ball. He's an absolute blast. We'll talk to you after. This is Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. I'm Greg, and that's Pete, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Network. So happy you are here with us today. Do not forget, after the 6 o'clock news, we'll be speaking to Martin Alvarado from Madison Library about all the book recommendations coming our way, as well as a talk with Civic Media's very own Mike Clemens. But right now, we are talking to a true Renaissance man right now. We're talking comedy, but it's everything. This next guest, he is a combat vet. He is a rocker. He is a comedian, writer, actor, all the things. Please welcome to the show, Tom Tran. Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. You left out nerd. You left out cat dad. You left out former fat kid. But getting back there. I'm getting back to the...
We only have so much time, Tom. I mean, come on. All these professions, you know.
Absolutely.
God, well, being a fat could be a profession, I'd go back to find my high school guidance counselor and be like, why didn't you tell me I could do this?
Well, I feel like they had a TV show about that, The Biggest Loser, where the fat kids could come on and then lose the weight and then become famous. That's how people do it nowadays. You're famous for not being talented. I'm sorry, I said it. Because now I was talking about this with my wife. We'll get to the show in a moment, but I was talking this about my wife. I did not know that reality star is now a cottage industry where people are just like, mm-hmm. this person was on this reality show and that one. I'm like, they get to be on more than one? I mean, that's yeah. how they become famous? She goes, yeah, they're famous for nothing. I'm like, this is America. It's amazing.
Maybe you know who said this quote, because I can't remember who said it. But it went something along the lines of, people used to be special because they were famous. Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe, you know, the singers and dancers. But now it's, people are special because they're famous. Like, they don't necessarily have to be good at anything other than, you know,
right.
they don't mind getting punched in the face on MTV. That's, you know, whatever. One MTV showed stuff.
It's just, that wasn't it's chasing fame for fame's sake. Regardless yeah. of talent, yeah. and many of them aren't. There are some that are talented from the reality world, but you're right. It's just like they become a brand. I don't know.
Speaking of not having talent, I'm here.
I was going to say,
Tom, come
talking
on.
about talent. I mean, you got a ton of talent, and we're here to talk specifically about an event that you're going to be taking part in, and it's called the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. You are the comedian that will be performing. Tell us about the event. You are a combat vet. Tell us about this event and how you became involved in it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It's going to be on Saturday, March 7th, coming up at Venue 404 in Oshkosh. They're VIP tickets. You can do meet and greet and general admission tickets. But it's going to be a fun event. I got involved because my friend James P. Connolly was the comedian last year. And he's a Marine Corps veteran, or whatever it is they say Marines are. What is it? Marines don't die. Okay. They just multiply. Babies, kids. I don't know. I don't remember. But he asked me to do this. And Tim Cody, who's in charge over there at the Fox Valley Veterans group, he's a former 82nd Airborne guy. Mm-hmm. And I was a paratrooper. So I got love for my fellow paratroopers. So I said, yeah, I will absolutely do it as long as you pay me $1 more than you paid the Marine. And they agree to that.
That's excellent. I remember I interviewed James last year and Tim. They're both great guys. And it's just such a great event. When you do a gig like this, Tom, as a comedian and also a veteran, how much of your material is geared towards veterans or the clientele you have on that particular night at Venue 404?
Well, anytime I do stand-up, whether it's a gig like this or at a comedy club or at the Laugh Factory or you know, wherever I happen to be performing, I just opened for Brad Williams, my buddy Brad nice. Williams, for like a week in the Midwest. And it's very much like being a soldier. I go in and I recon the area. I look at, I don't want to say the enemy because the audience is never the enemy, but I look at the target. Well,
that's optimistic.
It depends. I've played some clubs, you know, in the Midwest where like, all right, I'm definitely probably going to get stabbed on the way out. But I will go in and I will look at the audience. And if I'm not the first comedian, I'll watch the first comic and go, all right, what kind of worked? And I'll kind of get a lay of the land, figure out what they're laughing at. But in this case, I'm the only comedian. So I'll come in guns a-blazing. Not literally. Sorry, that was probably a bad analogy.
You're going to literally kill.
My aim material. Yeah. Oh, can I tell you, as a comedian and a combat veteran, the words I say on the phone definitely have the FBI flag in my phone calls. Like, I say kill and bomb way too often for anybody on the phone to be, not listening to that. But yeah, with, you know, I'll go in and I'll come out with my A material and I'll feel my way around and see what everybody's laughing at, you know. And being a comic is very much like being a soldier, somebody in the military. Like, you have your bag of tricks or toys, or, you know, in the case of, I guess, soldiers, like, you have your breaching weapon, you got your mortar, you got your bazooka. Like, what's gonna work in this particular situation? And for comedy, it's like, okay, do I do crowd work? Do I do military jokes? Do I do jokes about being a nerd? Do I do jokes about being divorced? Whatever. It's you really much, very much just like kind of look at the audience and go, what's gonna work? And, you know, hopefully you don't crash and burn.
I love when we would do shows around like where I live, and comics from out of town would be like, what's the name of the big grocery store around here? I'm like, Pick and Save. And they're like, thank you. And then later they make a joke where they say Pick and Save, and everyone goes, oh my gosh, he knows the places we go get groceries at. And they're doing like their recon work. They go walk around so they can find some local references for that first like 2 minutes of their set where they can ingratiate themselves into the audience. And I have to imagine that it's probably not to you, maybe use military parlance, a double-edged sword where you can say, well, I'm a vet, they're a vet, I can do what I want. But they might be like, no, make us laugh. We would bring the jokes. You can't just be all, because there's gonna be non-vets there too, and you want to make sure you appeal to everybody. But of course, you're gonna have some, whether it's crowd work or actual jokes in there, things that will definitely hit with the vets that will be different and more more fun too.
Yeah, I've always said about my career, if I can make a civilian who has never been in combat laugh about a joke about me being in Iraq, or make a grunt who has no idea what it is like being a cat dad, laugh at the same stuff, then I'm doing my job, because at the end of the day, everyone laughs at the same thing. It's a matter of getting them there. You know, when I was in the Army, I worked for a division of Army Special Operations called the Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command. And our job was to get the civilian population to work with the military, whether it was conventional military or special operators, and being able to build that bridge between two groups that have seemingly nothing in common, really helped with my comedy career. Because you walk into an audience, and if all you do is talk about Star Trek, and trust me, I would love to just talk about Star Trek for 45 minutes, and everybody in the audience is a Star Wars fan, well, you're not going to do well. You know, so being able to jive with the audience, like you said, like a local reference. I love going to a city early and then going to check out. You know what Slash does? He loves going to meet Slash from Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. I say it like he's
buddy. We're not on first name basis.
Yeah. He likes to go to cities and go to like museums. Mm-hmm. And like feel the city. I, being a former fat kid, love to go eat whatever that city is known for. That's my thing. It's either that or hockey. Like if there's a hockey game, I'll fly in the day before or the day after and go to the game. If there's not, like I'll go to whatever city, and I'm gonna be in Wisconsin. Trust me, I'm gonna bring a lot of Lactaid because this fat kid loves cheese. And
you could go for the bratwurst, Tom. You could go that route, but our guest
cheese-filled bratwurst.
Oh dear, you might not make it back to California. Our guest is Tom Tran, the very funny Tom Tran, who is also a rocker, a combat veteran. He is performing at the Fox Valley Veterans Prohibition Ball 2026. Such a great event for veterans. You can find more information at www.foxvalleyveterans.org/ball. Tom, how did you get started? Like you said, you were in the Army for years. You've seen combat. Were you doing stand-up before you were in the Army, or is that something you kind of jumped into when you got home? Okay.
I was very not funny when I was in the Army. You want the funny answer or the real answer?
A funny first, please.
Yeah.
I blame Robin Williams for every career decision I have made. I joined the Army because of Good Morning Vietnam, and became a cop because of Patch Adams. But wow. I mean, that's part of the story, and it's part of the real story. But the real answer is I came home from Iraq. I'd been shot my fourth day, as a matter of fact. I got shot in combat my fourth day in Iraq. I stayed my entire 12-month deployment. My roommate and soldier was KIA on a mission right before we came home. So I came back in a really bad way. And I did all the things that a lot of us do when we come home and we're having trouble processing combat and life after it. And I had a heart attack when I was like 26.
Oh my goodness.
This is not the funny version, like, right? I just want to clarify.
No, this is the very real version.
This is crazy. You know,
my doctor was like, you got to, can't say what he actually said because he said a swear word, but he said, you have to relax. He said, you have to blank relax.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to find something you love again, because it was, you know, I'd spent my entire early 20s in the Army and the last 12 months in combat. And then, you know, that combat doesn't end when you come home, and now you're dealing with family and school and life and kids and all this stuff. And I got real out of shape. I fell into all the traps, and he's like, you have to relax or you're going to die of a heart attack before you're 30. And I was 26 when this happened. And I tried to get back into music. I tried to, you know, I had a band, but it turns out I don't like working with people. And musicians, we're not the most awesome people to work with.
Yeah.
So I turned to comedy, and you know, it's a thing that I can do on stage by myself, and I have a ton of fun doing it, and it heals my soul, and it heals the people that I'm talking to. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
It sounds like the perfect fit for an event like this too, because we always talk so much in this country about how we need to help vets, how we, not just about coming home, but how getting them back into the world and finding passions after they've left a life that is 24/7, 365. This mission, your mission, whatever, even if you're in combat or not, you are working for the military. I have friends who are in the military and they've described what it's like coming out. And yeah, I can only imagine that finding something to take your mind off it or just developing a passion has got to be so integral to, I don't know how to say it without maybe sounding disrespectful, but like coming back to a normal world, which I apologize for saying that if that's not correct, but it's just, you know, putting yourself back into a place of fitting into the world outside the military. I can't even imagine that, but it seems like you found your path for right now, at least with music and with comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I say all the time, the most real scene of that movie, The Hurt Locker, is when Jeremy Renner is looking for cereal in an endless aisle of cereal. Like, so yeah, trying to find a normal life is very correct.
We're going to speak more with Tom Tran. He is a comedian. He is performing at the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. We'll have that information in our show notes. But more with Tom here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. The other guy is Pete Schwabe. We are here on the Civic Media Network. You are a part of it. We're happy you are here. We are talking to comedian, combat vet, former fat kid, nerd, all the good things, Mr. Tom Tran, about the event he will be performing at on March the 7th, which is the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026. We will have information in the show notes how you can get in touch with them, get tickets, or donate for the event. Tom, I know that Pete had some questions regarding an acting career as well, so I'm going to let Pete take over from this point on.
Yeah, and I just want to say shout out to Tim Cody because he set this up and allowed us to meet you, Tom, and learn about your service. And my goodness, thank you for all of that. I don't think said that to you initially, so thank you so much for your service and what you've been through. And thank you also for how you turned it around because now you make us laugh, and that's pretty cool too. But in addition to you bringing laughter, you're also an actor. You were on one of my favorite shows, cop shows, is Bosch. And I like Bosch Legacy, too. I've watched them all. My wife and I binge-watched the last season of Bosch in one night. It was insanity. I couldn't see for 3 days after that. But it's a great show. What was your experience like on Bosch Legacy?
It was funny because, and no spoilers, but something happened to me on the show that precipitated me not coming back. And I remember I worked on the radio at the time here in Los Angeles, and I walked up into my studio and the day after the episode aired, and one of the program directors from one of the other stations in the cluster goes, "I just watched Bosch Legacy and I was so worried when that happened to you." And I had to walk downstairs and go, "You know, it's a TV show, right? I also filmed that a year ago and I've been here every day. You see me, I'm fine." But that show was fun. It was really great. I loved it particularly because I do a lot of like network TV stuff, and you know, network TV, it's clean, it's family friendly, blah, blah, blah. And I remember getting the script for Bosch Legacy, and I dropped the F-bomb so many times.
Sweet.
I was walking around doing the script in my house over and over again. My girlfriend's like, "Why do you keep reading that script?" I'm like, "Do you know how many times I get to swear in this show? I'm going to learn the script backwards and forwards." And it was super fun. And I remember hanging out with Titus, who plays Harry Bosch on the show. Turns out we know some of the same people because this industry is very small. And so we shoot the episode where my character is no longer in the show. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
You kind of have.
And then I drive home. Yeah, well, all right. So, all right. If you haven't watched the episode, it came out 2 years ago. I got shot in the head. And I'm driving home and I've got the makeup on my forehead of the, you know, the gunshot in my head. And I pull into my house and my agent calls and goes, "They need you back for another episode." And I literally went, did they read the script? Do they know what just happened to me? Like, how are they gonna? And he says, wow. Apparently you made somebody important laugh. I was like, yeah, Titus, who is the star and the executive producer. So I was just being a comedian, not really. I was just being me in the back of, you know, we were in holding, and I made him laugh. And I guess he called somebody and was like, yeah, bring him back for another episode. I was like,
oh man. Cool.
Yeah. Bosch raises from the dead.
It's an open casket.
The makeup girl. Yeah, the makeup girl was like, were you surprised when you came back? I'm like, yeah, considering what happened to me last episode.
That's really, really funny. Now, before we get out of here, this is, I'll a peek behind the curtain. This is a pre-recorded interview we're doing right now, but we are talking to you in your apartment in Los Angeles, and you are surrounded by a bunch of things, including guitars, memorabilia, nerd memorabilia, but you say you have two pictures of B. Arthur on your mantle. Why is that?
Yes. So if you didn't know, B. Arthur, the best Golden Girl, is she is a former Marine, and I'm a huge Van Halen fan. Greg, mm-hmm. as you noticed.
Yes.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Van Halen had a clause in their contract back in the 80s that said in their dressing room, they wanted a bowl of M&Ms with no brown M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And if they walked into a dressing room and there were M&Ms in their brown M&Ms in that bowl, they knew that the promoter didn't read the contract and they would trash the room. And the idea was, well, they were just being divas. The real reason for that is that they would bury that in the middle of their tour rider because they had such an intricate stage setup with so many lights and power requirements and sound mm-hmm. and audio and that stuff, that it was really important that the promoter read the contract. And they knew that if they saw brown M&Ms, the promoter didn't read the contract. And being a big Van Halen fan, I am also a diva. So I, in my contract and my rider, require a bowl of only green M&Ms and a picture of B. Arthur, 10 minutes of quiet, and no questions.
You sound really difficult.
If I show up in Oshkosh and there's not a
questions.
Photo of B. Arthur, there's That's not a photo great. Of B. Arthur, Tim has failed.
Hey, Tom, before we let you go, we only have about a minute and a half or so. Tell us about your new executive produced show coming out called GIs of Comedy, if you can, in just a few seconds.
Yeah, the GIs of Comedy is actually a group I created. We're all combat veterans of the United States military, different branches. There's like a dozen of us. And a few years ago, we shot this special. It was supposed to be for Comedy Central, but, you know, they don't show comedy anymore. So I'm still in the editing process, and I've got to talk to my partners about where this wants to live. But yeah, we shot a special. I produced it, got two of the original GIs on it, and hopefully that'll come out somewhere in the next couple of years.
Wonderful. Well, Tom, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you sharing your time and sharing information on this event. Again, it's going to be the Fox Valley Veterans Council Prohibition Ball 2026 on March the 7th. We'll have all the information in the show notes. And again, echo what Pete said, thank you so much for your service and being here tonight. Tom Tran has been our guest. He's a comedian, nerd, combat veteran, former fat kid, cat dad, all the things. Check him out. And thank you so much. Come on back. We'll have another talk about more music, more comedy. It's great. Have a great night, sir.
Knock him dead.
Yeah. Next time I'll tell you about when my band played for William Shatner.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thanks. Now you got to come back like next week. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Martin Alvarado from the Madison Public Library about their summer picks or their spring picks. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.